Let's praise Him one more time. Thank Him that He loved us, that He set His love upon us. Oh, what manner of love that the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Wasn't that encouraging tonight? Amen. If you turn with me to Ephesians, we'll do it later. Thank you. Ephesians chapter 3. And as you're turning, I just want to emphasize some things that's happening. We've been trying to get the news out every way possible. But we'd love to have everyone at the annual Sunday School picnic. That's an epic thing here at the church. Great event. If you're not sure how to get there, there is a map in the bulletin. Show you how to get there. And that's this Saturday. We start gathering around 11. And of course, we have the usual events of the week. Also, just a correction here. Next Sunday evening, we were to have our missionary Scott Ennis from Africa. There's been a scheduling conflict, and so he will not be here this next Sunday evening. And your pastor or someone will be preaching, but Brother Ennis won't be here. And other things that are coming up, another thing I want to mention, so you can begin to invite your friends and family. How many would like for your unchurched friends and family, how many of you would like for them, too many prepositional phrases in a row there. How many of you would like for them to hear these choirs singing? Amen. Well, the last Sunday night of October, we're going to have gospel singing night. It's going to be our church choirs. We don't need to bring in another group when we have these choirs. We're going to have them singing, and at the conclusion of the singing, we're going to have a short gospel invitation. And so I want to encourage you to invite your friends and family that need the Lord. They don't have to need the Lord, but in particular, I'd love to see them. Many times folks will come to something special like that when they wouldn't come to a regular service, and then while here, God can get a hold of them and turn their hearts. And so begin to invite folks now. Amen. This isn't going to be our friend and family Sunday. We're going to have one of those probably in the spring, but it is an opportunity to invite folks to come. Ephesians chapter 3. I appreciate this church, the faithfulness of you as a people. And I've not seen too much. I've noticed a phenomenon whenever I'm around it. Sometimes the sports announcer will begin to brag on the athlete, and right after that, he just falls apart. How many's ever noticed that? And I've seen it like that before. I'm not with you folks, I'm sure. But just look around on a Sunday evening at folks that love the Lord and put Him first. You know, I think so often what Sister Norvell used to tell the school kids, she said, it's like buttoning up your sweater. You get the first button in the wrong hole, and none of them's going to be right. And, you know, if we don't keep God first, it isn't ever going to be right. Amen? How many knows the Scripture says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness? And all these things. You know, people got that out of order. They'll say, when I get to God, I'll seek Him. You know, but I got to take care of this. This isn't even the sermon tonight. This is just meddling. You know how you do when you get older, you just meddle. But I believe we need to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. I say that from our young people on up. The only way it's ever going to be right is to keep our priorities with God first. And that's why you're here on a Sunday night. You've put God first. There's probably other things you could have done. I'm not trying to remind you so you leave early. I'm commending you. There's other things you could have done, but you've put God first tonight. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, the title's already on the wall. Amen. What's at work in us? What's at work in us? I'm just going to read one verse, and if you'd like to stand, just so we'll stand and read this and pray, would you do that? Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20, Paul says, now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. I want to focus on that last part there, according to the power that worketh in us. The power, what is that that's working in us? You know, that's enough to shout over. Hey, amen. Right there, there's a power that's at work in us. Who's the us? The born again, the believer. Amen. There's a power that's at work in us. You say, I don't feel much power tonight. Turn your faith to God and you'll see what that power, amen, begins to move and to work. Amen. Let's pray tonight. We want to preach on what is at work in us. Heavenly Father, I pray that once again you'd meet with us through your word. You're the eternal God, and you have spoken unto us by your word. May we be encouraged and strengthened. May we have help tonight from that word. May Jesus be experienced in our hearts by faith. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. The board is going to get a little bit of redundancy here because I shared a little bit of this in the devotion at board meeting on Tuesday night. But Tuesday, Sister Hurst came home from work, and I came in the house, and I heard her singing a song. I haven't heard it sung a whole lot here. I've had Tricia sing it a time or two before. But she was singing that song, Jesus, be Jesus in me. How many has heard that? Jesus, be Jesus in me. And she got to that last part that says, resurrection power, fill me this hour. Jesus, be Jesus in me. That part, resurrection power, fill me this hour. That got a hold of me, Brother Cruz. If there's anything I desire, it's that I could be filled with resurrection power. Think of even the words of that song. Me, you, filled with resurrection power. And as I heard her sing that, I began to pray in my heart, oh God, I want resurrection power in my life. I want resurrection power in my praying. I want resurrection power in my worship. I want resurrection power in my preaching. I want resurrection power in my walk. I want resurrection power in my talk. I want resurrection power in my witness. I'd like to see resurrection power in the church. I believe that's a power that'll save the lost. It'll heal the sick. It'll deliver the bound. I'm talking about resurrection power. And Paul says it's at work in us. That first of all means it's at work in us as individual, but I believe it also means it's at work in us as a church. I'm telling you, this is more than a club meeting tonight. We're here to declare that Jesus is Lord. He has risen from the dead, and the power that raised him from the dead is at work in our hearts. Amen. My first question was, when Paul said, according to the power that worketh in us, I asked myself, what is that power? I immediately thought of the context of Ephesians. And in chapter 1, Brother Mike, in chapter 1, verse 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Here it is. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. Still hadn't told us what this power is, but in verse 20 he tells us what power. The power which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. Hallelujah. What is the power that works in us? It's the power that God used to resurrect Christ from the dead. I want you to get your heart around this tonight. We can have resurrection power at work in our hearts and lives and minds and thoughts. It's available tonight. Hallelujah. Even what is that power? Romans 8 and 11. Paul tells us what what that power is. Amen. Romans 8 and 11. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. I told you when we covered this as we went through Romans, so often we jump immediately and think Paul's talking about the resurrection, all these dead bodies of the saints in the grave, and one day the Spirit of the Lord is going to quicken them and raise them from the dead. And yes, that's the ultimate application of this passage. But Paul wasn't talking about when we've died, when we're already in the grave. He's talking about right here, right now, in our time, in our problem, in our situation, in our difficulty, in our battle, in our temptation. He said, if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall quicken, make alive, give power, give ability, give enablement. What is that power that works in us? It's the power that raised Jesus from the dead. Just think of it. The power that entered that tomb and raised Him from the dead can work in us in our situation right here tonight in this place. Oh, that power is resurrection power. But what is that resurrection power? Amen. You know, the scripture, our text tonight says, now unto Him who is able to do exceeding and abundantly above all we're able to ask or think, excuse me, according to the power that worketh in us. Amen. You know, we like to quote that and think of our special needs that we might have, and I believe it does apply. But what I thought tonight was this: now unto Him it's able to do exceeding abundantly. What is it we want Him to do? If He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask, what is it we want Him to do? And you know, maybe we would sit here and say, well, I want Him to make me rich. I don't think we're that carnal, but maybe we'd do that. Or what do I want Him to do? I want Him to give me a new car or a new house. But you know, I think there's a lot more things important than that in our lives that we need Him to do. There's some tonight that just need victory. I said, you just need victory. There's some tonight, your hearts, no fault of your own, but your hearts are cold and dry and unmoved. Amen. But I'm telling you, what do we need Him to do? We need Him to work in us with that resurrection power. What is resurrection power? First of all, resurrection power is reforming power. It's reforming power. To reform means to lead to the desiring, seeking, and obtaining of a better life. To reform means to lead to the desiring, seeking, and obtaining of a better life. I'm telling you, we're talking about a power here of how God takes us, how He takes us. We were lost in sin. All we were concerned about was the life of sin, the life of the world. Oh, but God didn't let us get by that easily. He sent His Holy Spirit, the resurrection power of Christ, out to get a grip on our heart. How many knows it was the power of the Spirit through conviction that let us see we were on the wrong path? We were involved in the wrong thing. We were headed the wrong direction, and it was the resurrection power of Christ that came and got a hold of us and led us to desire and led us to discover and led us to obtain a better life. Not the life of a sinner, but the life of a boy. I'm telling you, the resurrection power of Christ will reform a person. It'll get a hold of them and change their life. Aren't you glad for the reforming power of Christ? Amen. Jesus said, when He is come, the Comforter, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. In other words, that power, resurrection power, that power of the Spirit is a reforming power. It turns us from sin and turns us to righteousness and turns us from a sinner to a saint in Christ. What is that resurrection power? It's not just reforming power. It's transforming power. Transforming power. Amen. Just about 2 weeks ago, I got to get my boys straight here, my young man straight. Andrew had a science project, and He's out gathering animal insect specimens. And he found this caterpillar. Big old caterpillar about this. And by the way, he was right and I was wrong. But right off the bat, he told me what kind of caterpillar that was. And he put it in this jar and poked the holes in the lid. How many ever did that as a kid? You know, you might revitalize your life. You just went and did that tomorrow. Just go out and get you a jar and collect bugs. All the young ladies are shaking their head no. He put that caterpillar in that jar and we watched it for a few days. And then it did an amazing thing. It attached itself to the top of the lid and it had spun something around its body, the pupa. It's just spun it right around there. Andrew said, "What's going to come out of there?" He said, "I know what it is. What do you think?" And I said, "I don't know." He said, "When will it come out?" And I said, "Oh, probably next spring." But Friday, I was out working the garage. Sandra hollered, "Come in, you got to see this." What is it, a fire? You know, I don't know. I come running from the garage. And that old ugly worm that had been in there, he wasn't in there any longer. And that pupa wasn't in there any longer. But there was a beautiful monarch butterfly. And it struck me like that again. I've seen that, I know that. But how did that beautiful monarch butterfly come from that old ugly worm? I marveled. What do you call that? Someone said it. Say it louder. It's transforming. What's a scientific word? Metamorphosis. Have you marveled at that? Think about that. I mean, how did that beautiful butterfly come from? I told Sandra right then, I said, "You can forget all the arguments of evolution just looking at that. They're over with." How many members of Scripture? "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed." Let me say the word transform in Greek. Be ye metamorphed. Did you recognize the word in Greek? Be ye metamorphed. God metamorphs His people. He transforms them. I mean, we're already saved. We've experienced reforming power. He has arrested us from our sin, and He has led us to a better life. But there's still so much that thinks the wrong way, that has the wrong attitude. But I'm telling you, the resurrection power is a transforming power. He will transform our minds and transform our hearts. How many believes He can take the old worm and make a beautiful butterfly? Hallelujah. Be ye not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. The resurrection power is a transforming power. Transform means to change from one thing unto another. Reforming power, that's how God takes us. But transforming power, that's how God makes us. Amen. I found it interesting. They thought that holiness folks were way off for preaching sanctification. And now as I read the religious periodicals, I hear them right over and over. We've made a mistake. We shouldn't have got away from that doctrine. And they're preaching and teaching it again. The only thing is they don't call it sanctification in the 2000s. They're preaching the same thing. They realize they made a mistake. They say it's the message that the church needs to hear. But they don't call it sanctification. Here's what they call it: transformation. And that's all right, because that's what we need. We need transforming power. I'm telling you, sometimes if we're honest, we're not pleased with ourselves. We're not pleased with our reactions and our actions and our thoughts and our words. But I'm telling you, there is a Spirit that can transform our mind, transform our outlook, transform our perspective. I'm glad for a resurrection power that transforms. Resurrection power, it is a reforming power. It is a transforming power. But it's also a conforming power. A conforming power. To conform means to shape, to mold. I thought we've been transformed. We have. But that's our attitudes. That's our desires. That's who we really are. But there's a conforming work whereby God begins to make our every action. He begins to make our every deed. Amen. Into the image of Christ. In Romans chapter 8 verse 29. For whom he did foreknow, he did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. That's what he wants to do to us. He wants to conform us, mold us, and shape us into the image of his Son. Reforming power is how God takes us. Transforming power is how God makes us. But conforming power is how God shapes us and shapes our life into the image of Christ. I'm glad for resurrection power. Resurrection power is reforming power. It is transforming power. It is conforming power. Amen. But resurrection power is informing power. Informing power. Oh, there's so much we need to know. Did you hear what they were singing at the opening of the service? Deeper, deeper, yet I pray. And higher every day. Oh, as a Christian, there's something in your heart that says, I want to know more. I want to know more about my Lord. I want to know more about my Jesus. I want to know more about the things of God. I want to know more about eternal truths, but I just can't get it on my own. I can read and the words blur and the words mean nothing. I just don't have it. Well, I'm here to say there is a resurrection power. It is an informing power. I'm talking about the power of the Holy Ghost to take truths, the truths of God, and make them come alive in your heart and mind. Amen. The power of the Holy Ghost to make Jesus real and the things of God real and make heaven real and give you a spiritual understanding and shine a light on your prayer. I'm glad there's an informing power. Hallelujah. You say, Pastor, why do you call it informing power? Because Jesus said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me and know me. Listen to what he says. He's been talking about sending the Comforter and sending the Holy Ghost. And he says, at that day ye shall know. At what day? When he sends the Comforter. At what day? When he sends the Spirit. At that day ye shall know that I am in the Father, and ye in me, and I in you. Jesus went on to say, he said, these things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, when he is come, he will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have spoken unto you. And then Jesus said, the Spirit of truth is coming, and he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but he shall speak of me, and whatsoever he hears, he's going to speak it to you, and he'll glorify me. For he shall receive of mine, and the Holy Spirit will show it unto you. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. At that day, ye shall know that I'm in the Father, and ye in me. And I'm telling you, the resurrection power is an informing power. It's when the Holy Ghost opens up our understanding, opens up our thinking. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, we need informing power in the world we live in. Amen. They're spouting off commentators on every media source, and we take in all that information. But in the day that we live in, we need informing. We need to be informed by the Holy Spirit. That's the resurrection power. Hallelujah. The informing power is how God tells us. How God tells us. Amen. Reforming power, how God takes us. Transforming power, how God makes us. Conforming power, how God shapes us. Informing power, how God tells us. And last of all, the resurrection power is a performing power. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13, it says, I can do all things through Christ which strengthened me. A performing power is how God uses us. Hallelujah. Have you ever felt yourself or heard yourself say lately, I just can't do it. I just can't do this. Amen. You don't have to be honest, but I want you to think about that. I don't care how old you are, probably not too long in your past. You've said to yourself, I just can't do this. I just can't face this. I can't go through this. I can't do this. I can't overcome it. I want you to tell us tonight that the resurrection power is a performing power. I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. Remember, that power is at work in us. Hear me tonight. I hope I haven't preached this in vain. Hear me tonight. We need to quit saying, I can't do this. Yes, it's true. The sufficiency is none of ourselves to think anything of ourselves. Yes, it's true. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. Oh, but there is a performing power. Amen. Paul said, it's at work mightily in me. And he says in Ephesians, he's able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. There is a performing power. What I can't do, he'll give me power to do. What I can't face, he'll give me power to face. What I can't overcome, he'll give me a power to overcome. There is a performing power. How do you feel about it? Amen. Do you feel like I do tonight? Resurrection power. Fill me this hour. And Jesus, be Jesus in me. Would you come, music? When the country of Wales, I've been there, it's a really pleasant country, hilly country. When the country of Wales first got electricity, they were reviewing records in one village and noticed that one elderly lady on the outskirts of town hardly used any electricity, minuscule amount of electricity. They thought there must be a trouble, so they sent a lineman out. He checked the line up to her house. He checked the meter. It all worked. Everything was hooked up properly. The feed was proper to the service box. Everything was perfect. And they said to her, they said, you know, the reason we're out here, we're checking because by your bill and by the meter, you hardly use any electricity to speak of at all a month. And they said, we got to know, do you ever use this electricity? And she said, oh, yes, we use electricity every night. When it gets dark, we turn the electric switch on to turn the lights on so we can see to light the kerosene lanterns. And then when we get the lanterns lit, we turn the lights back out. Ooh, about said something. But I'm telling you, amen. God's given this power not just for periodic little flashes in our life. He's given us this power for everyday living. Amen. We don't need to go back to the kerosene lamps of our own abilities and our own thoughts and our own, when there is a power, a resurrection power. Are you glad for it tonight? Let's stand and thank him. Could you do it? Hallelujah. Amen. Thank him across the building. Oh God, I need help. I can't do this, but I'm going to quit saying I can't. I want to tell us tonight, instead of looking at your inabilities and talking about what you can't do, look at the power of God and see what he can do. I said, instead of our looking at our inabilities and talking about what we can't do, let's look at the power of God and talk about what we can do. I can do all things through him that strengthened me. Sister Trisha is going to lead us. Would you sing it with us tonight?
Jesus, be Jesus in me.
Sing it, hallelujah.
No.
As a prayer to him.
Jesus, be Jesus in me.
No longer I, Lord, but thee.
No longer I, Lord, but thee.
Resurrection power.
shower. Jesus, be Jesus.
Let's sing it one more time.
Me.
I want to convince you tonight that you can through His power. He'll transform
Jesus,
you. He'll conform
Jesus,
you. He'll give you the ability to perform and to do the thing that you need to do. Oh, hallelujah.
No longer I, Lord, but Thee. Resurrection power,
fill me.
Please fill me this hour.
Oh, hallelujah.
Jesus, be Jesus.
Amen. As she sings again, if you sense your need or you would like resurrection power at work in your life, would you come? Would you come tonight? I want you to just come and stand tonight. If you sense your need for resurrection power, would you come and stand at the front and lift your hands? Say, Lord, I need filled with resurrection power. Would you come and do it? I need resurrection power. I need the power that would conform me. I need the power that would transform me. I need the power to help me to perform and to do the thing. Just lift up your hearts and hands and say, oh Lord, fill me with resurrection power. Oh, the power that's at work in you. He said He'd work in us. Oh, come on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, every one of us can have that power at work in our lives. Every one of us can have resurrection power. Oh, hallelujah. That's it. Lift your hearts and your hands and say, Jesus, I need your power. I need resurrection power.
Please fill
hallelujah.
Me this hour.
It's a reforming
Jesus,
power. It's a transforming
Jesus
power. It's a
me.
Conforming power. It's an informing power. It's a performing
Jesus,
power. He'll inform you tonight.
Jesus,
He'll speak the word of Christ to your heart. He'll speak the word of encouragement to your heart. He'll inform you tonight. Come on, let God refresh you tonight. Oh, let God refresh you tonight. Hallelujah. Fill me with
resurrection power.
Fill me.
Please fill me.
Be at work in me. Oh, in me. Oh, open up your heart. Open up your life. Lord, move in me.